But yet he's doing that also. One of the words that God gave me this morning, and I think I'm going to work on this as a message, but I'll just say this. If there's ever an option, people will take it. This is not the word this morning. It's the word that God gave me. If there's an option, people will take an option. Do you ever know that? I mean, if you buy a car and the guy offers you an option, you got to have it. I mean, you just about jump on any option that's offered to us anymore in the United States. This is not a good thing as far as I'm concerned about the word from God. There should be no options except being in church. Jesus, if you want to call yourself Christ-like, and you do, and I give you honor to that, I'm not fussing at you, but I'm correcting myself. Jesus was in the temple every day and said that we should be in the temple on the Sabbath and not forsake that gathering. God created 6 days and rested and created the Sabbath holy and commanded us to rest on that day. How do you rest? You have to go into God to rest. Sleeping is not rest. I've slept before, not rested. But I have rested, and it didn't require sleep. So let's, and I know you have done this, or this is not a preaching to you, but I'm going to give you honor this morning for not making missing church an option. Will you receive that? Okay. All righty. I shared with you what God said about that. Okay, we started a series last week, and Patrick, we're going to have to come up with some tapes for all these people that are missing. Karen's going to need one. She's missed the last two, so, and I know she wanted them. She will want them on our calling, and I know that Renee will want this too. She's very interested in this, so it's on our calling. Last week we kind of categorized general characteristics of calling and what came with calling, the surety of the calling, the commands, the invitations, and all of that. We're still going to deal more with the general calling this morning. It's not enough to know all the categories. We're going to start or begin to look into to callings that are very specific in the Bible. Once again, this is still, you understand, there's generals and specifics. We said there's a big umbrella calling. We said that. We're going to deal with it again today, only just bring it down to a little more specifics. So if you get your Bible and turn to, I think you can follow me today. Turn first to Ephesians. I know last week you couldn't, but today I'll not use quite so many scriptures. And I will apologize for last Sunday. I went and went and went and went and then fussed at myself for going too long. But when I get involved in the Word, it's hard for me to stop. And I had an uncle who was a preacher, and he said, if you can't say it in 15 minutes, it can't be said. And he was wrong. That's not true. That's why many of his messages were so dry. All right, Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 3. Just wait just a second for me. I'm going to give these headings. This is heading A. And last week we went ahead and decided that everybody in the United States is, in the world is the United States to me, but everybody in the world is called. Is that correct? Okay. So I want to tell you this morning, it is not if we are called. There's no if about your calling. But I want to ask you when you were called. I want to get the word if out of your vocabulary. It's not if I am called, it's when you were called. Let's read Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, when were you called? Before the foundation of the earth. Right? We mentioned the word Jesus. The name Jesus. Why was Jesus given that name? Because before the foundations of the earth, He was chosen to deliver. He was the Messiah. So he was named Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the one that would deliver. God, let's see how this works. We'll see if I can explain it. And I'm not trying to be crude or rude here, but until God the Father birthed Jesus Christ, there was not a Messiah. Am I correct? Or there was not Jesus the Messiah. Now, I'm tricking you, so make sure you listen to what I'm saying. Before God the Father birthed the man, Jesus Christ the Deliverer, there wasn't Jesus Christ the Deliverer.
Not here physically.
Okay. Not here physically. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Physically speaking, there was not a man, the Deliverer, Jesus Christ, until God the Father, even though he was called before the foundations of the earth. There was no physical manifestation of this until God the Father birthed Jesus Christ. Are we in agreement with that? Okay. What was that? Okay. Now, we have a physical birth. It's accomplished by two physical parents. Now, I was called before the foundations of the earth. I was a dream. I was a wish. I was a hope in God the Father's eyes. Now, I was a surety that I was going to be born. But I am not, there wasn't a surety that I wouldn't be born again. I think I said that wrong. There's not a surety that I'm born again, because that's up to me. I had nothing to do with my physical birth. You understand that? Even though God knew it before the foundations of the earth. You might say God created me before the foundations of the earth. I was not yet His son. Hard picture, but we got to get it down. I was not yet His son, even though He knew I was going to be physically born. I had nothing to do with the physical birth, but I had everything to do with the spiritual birth. It was my choice then in answer to His call. Even though He's the one that birthed me, I had the vote. Okay? Because now, what I'm saying to you is I don't believe totally in predestination. I don't believe that I have a... Those people that try to teach you that you have no choice in whether you're saved or not saved, don't believe that. That won't jive with the Scripture. God knew about my physical birth, but I did not exist until my spiritual birth. Now, I just said something important to you. Don't let that slip by. I was born September the 16th, 1948, physically, but I still did not exist. Okay? Now, are we spiritual beings here? We're talking about kingdom things. We're talking about eternal things. Right? Too many times we're confused because we operate too much in the flesh and not enough in the spirit. Spiritual things, I had a flesh birth, which doesn't count. The only thing that counts to me in eternity is my spiritual birth into the kingdom of God. I was born. I became. I mentioned a virgin birth. The Holy Spirit moved upon me, and by my choice and by my agreement, I had a virgin birth. I became without, you might say, without flesh being involved. The Holy Spirit moved on me and I became a son of God just like Jesus did. At one time, Jesus was the only begotten son, but not for long, because I am a begotten son of the Father also. So are you. Amen? Okay. Just want to kind of get some things squared away. He chose me before the foundation of the earth. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean predestined? No. He chose everybody before the foundations of the earth. Did Jesus die for everyone? But not everyone will receive Him. They'll not be born again. So just because He chose us before the foundations of the earth doesn't mean that we're predestined before the foundations of the earth. So the call went out. Before the foundation of the earth, God said to Adam, I'm going to create you. Boom. Then I'm going to create Eve. Boom. Here's my orders. Have kids. And I'm going to call every one of those kids from this point forward, everybody, I'm choosing to be mine. That's quite a father, isn't it? He didn't say, I just want 100, I just want 1,000, I just want 10 million. He didn't say that. He said, I want every kid. I'm going to offer every kid the spirit of adoption. You can take my name, you can take my mind, you can take my goods, you can take everything if you choose to. That's quite a father. That's right. There's still the second half of the choosing. But the call went out. That was what I'm saying. The call went out. Be mine. Before the foundations of the earth. And every time one of us meets the Holy Spirit, guess what the call is? Be mine. It's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. All right. B. What is our primary calling? Our primary calling, and by the way, every other calling we talk about from this point forward will fall under this one. Now, before I just said everybody needs to be saved. But I'm going to bring Scripture out and show you what our primary calling is. We have to understand this before we can even be saved. Here it is. The last part of the fourth verse says this. That we should be holy and without blame before Him. The fourth verse, Ephesians 1. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, here's our calling. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Or, if we're going to say it, I could say it a little different. Our primary calling is to be a loving servant to Him. A loving servant to Him. Why do I say that's our primary calling? Because if we operate in fear, there's no love involved. And we're doing it for us to stay out of hell. It's still for us. But if I understand my primary calling is to Him in love, then I have fulfilled every desire of the Father. Let's make it simple before we get complicated, right? If I serve Him in love, no matter what I do from that point forward, I please the Father. I please my Father. Now, who did He choose? The answer is all that will accept Him as Father God and will praise or acknowledge Him as Lord. Verse 5. Having predestined or pre-chosen us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. How many of you just found out what God's will is? All right. Let me tell you what God's will is. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, chose us before the foundations of the earth, to serve Him without blame before Him, to be sons by Jesus Christ. That is according to His good pleasure and will. Anybody in here have any children? How many of you wish your children would be sick? Would be poor, would go to hell, would have a bad life? I'm telling you, the good feelings that you have for your children come from Father God. Now we know the will of God. That's why I do not like when people pray, God, heal him if it's your will. Because if I know that you're a child of God, I already know the will of God. It's good. Okay. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, I put that in there for a reason. Because as we go through the calling, as we go through the will of God, Satan's going to be screaming in your ear that you can't do the will of God because of your sins. He screams that. That's the old story that Satan has. You can't do the will of God. You can't be a preacher. You can't be a teacher. You can't do anything that God wants you to do because you've been so lousy. You've been a no good kid. Isn't that what he yells all the time? The Scripture says different. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It's not according to how sweet you are, it's according to the riches of His grace. If you're serving before Him in love. Who can understand this? Who can comprehend this? Who can do this? If it's left up to us, nobody can. I promise you, by flesh, nobody can understand what we're talking about this morning. When we're talking about God the Father, I've already said some strange things to flesh. You're here, but you're not here. You're birthed, but you're not birthed. You have another birth, a second birth. All of these don't make a bit of sense to flesh. So who in the world can comprehend this and understand it? Well, the answer is all who trust. Go on down to verse 8. Which he had made to abound toward us in all wisdom and all prudence. What made what to abound? His will, his grace, his mercy. We're going to understand that. Please, on this tape, and everybody that's going to listen, we by flesh cannot understand the calling of God, the grace of God, the virgin birth that you and I are, the born againness of us through God. We cannot understand how Jesus died for our sins. None of this is going to make sense to our flesh. But the promise is, you're going to understand this because he makes you abound in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. See, God tells us right there, if we're operating in the flesh, it's a mystery. But if we operate in the Spirit, he's going to reveal his will. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Do you see that, Harry? That's cool. The only way that we're going to know his will for us is to get into him, because that's where it's at. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. How come we don't understand the will of God? Because we don't spend enough time with him. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. You want to know what he's up to? Be in him. You want to know the fullness of his grace and mercy? Be in him. You remember what him is? Jesus? That's character, his personality, his will. That's not just the name. It's not just a person. It's everything that God stands for, incarnate in Jesus Christ. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Who's, what I'm trying to prove as we read this, is those that want to understand and comprehend will, not because of their wisdom, but because of the very power and force of God. He's in charge of making you understand. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Remember what I said? We all fit in this through trust or faith. You first hear. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why of promise? You got to believe. You got to believe that it's a true word. You got to believe that God promises and fulfills what he says. Then it becomes real. You know the Holy Spirit doesn't exist until you believe he does? If you don't believe him, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you just say there's no Jesus and see if he won't go away. Say there's no Holy Spirit and see if he doesn't leave. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You have to say it. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Both. Jesus is our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. The one that comes and assures us on a moment-by-moment basis that Jesus is still sitting at the right hand of the Father, forever interceding. Therefore, let's see. Don't skip. Yeah, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You notice every one of these, to the praise of his glory? Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Who can understand? Who can discern? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Is God your Father?
Yes.
Well, then your name's Glory. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you don't get to know Him, you will not get the spirit of revelation and understanding. Is that correct? Okay. So a little, now I lay me down to sleep prayer in the evening, and God, if I die before I wake, make sure I don't go to hell, is not the kind of relationship that God wants. He will not give a distant relative the spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding. Only to those close ones. The knowledge, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling in you. Harry, this is the answer right here. Ephesians 1, verse 18. If anybody wants to know, or you can do this whole scripture, this whole group of scriptures we're reading. But the word here is, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Are you a saint? Two or three of you are. I am. My name's Glory. I am a son. I give glory to God. Therefore, I bask in glory. Even when I don't feel like it. It's still the truth. Even when some knothead comes and tells me that I can't work because I've had too much sin in my life. That does not negate the Word of God. A human's word never negates the Word of God except in their own personal life. Are you hearing me? I can negate the Word of God, but I can't negate the Word of God for you. First, vice versa. So don't let the world tell you anything that goes against the Word of God is a lie against the truth. Okay. Who has the ability or power to accomplish the plan of God? Now, who's in Ephesians, whose calling was it? It says His calling. Once again, we'll just make fun of the preachers that talk about their calling. Don't touch me, you might take away my calling or my anointing. Hogwash, it never belonged to you. It's His calling. And He's in charge of making you understand what He's calling you to do. The calling won't do anything. He has the calling, you have the doing. There you go. Well, that requires some effort, though. Let's get the picture again. Nobody understands by the flesh what we're talking about. God only reveals. No flesh calls. God calls. No flesh owns a calling. God owns the calling. Okay? And I am the only flesh in the world that can negate the calling by refusing to understand or receive. Who has the ability or power to accomplish the calling or the plan of God? How many even know the calling has to go with a plan? God never gives a calling without a plan. Okay, how? Now I've got this call in my life. How do I accomplish it? Well, I don't. He does through me. Let's go on to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. Now, we always talk about the age of the earth and the age of eternity. But I'm telling you, that's not what the Scripture said. He's telling you that the power that I operated in Jesus Christ to raise Him from the dead, I did the same to you in Jesus' age and your age. That same power is alive and working. What for? Jesus was called to be the Messiah. What are you called to do? Jesus' power came from from relationship with the Father, doing what the Father wanted. Isn't that what the Bible says? Where does your power going to come from?
Same place.
Everything you do, everything you want to do, you ask God about it, and you say, God, I can't do this without you. In fact, I won't do it without you. That age, this age, and the age to come. Jesus, His offspring, my offspring, your offspring, every generation to come, the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, raises me from the dead. And dwells in me. Why? To keep me from being dead. To do what Jesus did after. You know, we don't like to think about this, but Jesus was born again twice. He was birthed supernaturally without sin. That's born again. Then when he was raised from the dead, he was born again again. If you don't believe it, we went through that at Easter time, remember? For how many days? 45? Was it more than that? 45 days after he was in the grave and came out by that power we're talking about, went around doing miraculous things even then. Hey, the same power that raised him from the dead and made him do those things can raise us from the dead. And for a lot more than 45 days, we can operate in that power. It's a better covenant, amen? We can go around. We can be in multiple places. We can, whatever our faith will believe, we can do. You remember the scripture that says the thing that Jesus did? You'll do also even more? This is a good time to... We got a lot more than 45 days to operate in that power and in that calling. We need to believe that. Far above all principality and power, He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. What's the fullness of Him? Everything Jesus ever did? More. And let's don't limit ourselves. Let's get into that. Let's understand that Jesus wanted to provide a way where we could do more powerful, mighty, stupendous things than He did. Are we called to that? Are we called to that, Patrick? Are we called to that? All right. What must I do for God to fulfill His plan in and through me? If we arrive at this, if this is the truth, then what do I have to do to get this ball going? What do I have to do to get this calling manifested? Well, we can expect change. Come on, let's be honest. If I haven't been operating in God's fullness, in my calling or my power or my authority, then I need to change, correctly?
Amen.
So by faith, I expect God's calling and power and authority to work through me. Therefore, I need to expect the change. We just read in all those scriptures that it's by God's power that change is going to happen. It's by God's revelation, wisdom, understanding, discernment that we're going to understand not only our calling, but how to get it accomplished. All of that's going to require change. One time? No, every day. And I'm telling you, that's not discouraging to me. For those of us that aren't quite as young as you, you can look forward to every day a change for the better. No matter how old you get, I can look forward to that. I can look forward to change. You can look forward to change. It's the only thing that doesn't grow old is change. Glory to glory. God's work in us. He just works it out different. Correctly? Correct? I mean, you've got to understand that. God works in youth different than He works in youth. How'd you like that? That was slick, wasn't it? He doesn't just pick a category of age and work in that age. It's by His power, and His power is ageless and timeless. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oop, I changed the page. Okay. The question was what? What must I do to fulfill His plan in and through me? 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Remember what I told you. The change is not one time, it's every day, every day, every day. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, it doesn't say one time. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, listen to me. If there's been any disappointment in your life about a calling, about prayers not being answered, about the power of God not being revealed as we would like, we have still have this scripture. Old things, as of today, do you know all of that can go away? Old things can pass away. God, I don't want any more ineffectiveness in my life. I don't want any more sitting on my wide spot and not doing anything. I don't want any more when I lay hands on people that they don't recover. Because your word says these signs shall follow. That's a calling. I want it to work. God began a work in me. I know it can't be you. It's got to be me. Begin the work in me. Old things pass away. All things every day become new. You know what else that means? That means if I made a mistake yesterday and I get with God today, there is no yesterday. That yesterday, what I'm trying to say is yesterday cannot hinder today. So it doesn't make any difference what I've tried and failed yesterday. It's what I do today and tomorrow that counts. What will this call do? What is the call for? What will it do in my life other than just change? How will the change be? What will it look like? It'll change you and it'll change others. How? Listen. Verse 18, still 2 Corinthians 5. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled. Now I looked up that word. I'm going to tell you what reconciled means. It means exchange the old for the new. Reconciled means exchanged the old for the new. Remember the context here? The old was the old covenant that we were failing in miserably. The new covenant came in. We're exchanging the old for the new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus. This was all for us, done through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What's the ministry of reconciliation? Our ministry now is, number one, to be changed every day from old to new. And our ministry is telling others that can happen. And showing it. Showing it and telling it. So now we know. I'm a little ahead of myself here. It's not what I want to cover today, but one of our callings is the ministry of reconciliation. If that's not in this earth is doomed. How many of you know that you're not going to dodge old? You're not going to dodge it. It's inevitable. If that's the only place that I have to live, I have no hope. Because from birth, all I have to look forward to is death. That's not an encouraging thought. My ministry is to get the world to stop thinking about that and think about what God has done, giving them hope that every day I'm closer to life eternal. Every day I'm better than I was yesterday. Every day I have more knowledge and wisdom than I had yesterday. That's our ministry. Every day I can tell somebody, you want more wisdom? Get closer to God. But I've sinned miserably. Yeah. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in telling you about how God can trade in the old for new. Every day. Isn't that cool? I got a message nobody else has. I'm talking about worldly. There's no world a counselor or education process that can give you this kind of promise. Let me read on. Has given us the ministry of reconciliation, or the ability to tell others about your change and offer it to them. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing, not remembering, not posting it, debiting it against your account, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now we not only have a ministry of reconciliation, God, by the Holy Spirit, is going to give us the word of reconciliation. Do you know how encouraging that is? Because that's not our word. That's through the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We have that Spirit residing in us, giving us the words when it's time to reconcile. So it's not up to my wisdom, and it's not up to my education, and it's not up to my ability. It's just up to my relationship with God, the timing of the word. Okay? I like it. What is the first call? What is the first call? If you want to know the first call, turn to Genesis 1. That would be a good place to start with the first call, wouldn't it? Genesis 1. I'm going to answer you what the first call is. The first call that God ever gave you was to know who you are, to know whose you are, to know what you have, and to know who it's for. Before I read the scripture, can I tell you something? If you don't believe who you are, you can't be a minister. If you don't know whose you are, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have no calling and no ministry. If you don't know what you have, if you don't know what God has given you beyond a shadow of a doubt, and enough that you'll risk your life on it, you'll never answer the call of God. You'll never do the work of God. And if you don't know what the work is for, you can't do the work. Does that make sense to you? Or do I need parables? You know, if I give you a job, Harry, if I just say, I got a job for you, do it. You're going to say, who, what, when, where, how, why? If you got any intelligence, you'll do that. You don't just take off in every direction trying to do a job you don't know what it is. Here's your first call. I'm going to go further, but your first call is to know who you are, whose you are, what you have, and who it's for. When you go to work, Patrick, and you get a paycheck, what's it for? That's not what most people say. But that's a good step. When you go apply for a job, what have you got to offer them? You got to know that, don't you? You have to know it, don't you? Or you'd never apply for the job. You wouldn't even apply if you didn't know you had the ability. Too many Christians have heard little passing words and they've never taken it to themselves. People will go to college and they'll get education. They'll get degrees and they're bold in going and applying that to the job sector. But they'll sit under the word and they never get empowered because they don't believe it's for them. It just passes over. It's got to be for that real talented one over there. It can't be for me. All talent comes from God. All wisdom, all understanding, all revelation. Okay. You've got to know who you are, whose you are, what you have, and who it is for. Genesis 1, 26. Everybody knows this if you've been around this church very long. But I want you to listen to it because this is your first call. Now, here's what God did. He wanted a new race. He had a vision of a new race. And he found this piece of property called the earth. And he envisioned what that earth could look like. He knew what mankind needed, and he could envision how to do it. He knew who he was. He knew what he had. He knew who it was for. And so he just spoke it into existence. I don't like where the water is, I change it. I don't like the way the land looks, I change it. I don't like the way the sun and there's no light and there's no darkness, so I change it. I don't like that there's no pretty growth there, I change it. That's what he did. He did all that work. And he said, God, that was a good job. He spoke. That's what he said. It is good. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, now that we've prepared the place, let us make man in our image. Surely, Stan, there's a clerical error here. There's a misinterpretation. Because I'm sitting here looking at Chuck, And surely that's not what God looks like. Now come on, get real. That's what we say when we look in the mirror. Are you arguing with God? You've got the guts to argue with God? Then listen to what the Scripture says. Let's make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Dominion means rule and power to rule, to tread down and to build up. Did God change the earth with His words? Then He said, let's make man in our likeness and image and give him the same authority and power that we just used over this earth. Our first call. He looked at Nicole and said, dominion, rule. If you can't do that, then I've just wasted my time. I've built a house, a place to reside. I've given you all authority to rule. And if you miss this call, all the rest is worthless. Because even if you do something good, if you don't control it, if you don't rule over it, it's going to go to pot. He gave them dominion over what? Over the fish of the sea. That's everything in the sea. Over the birds of the air. That's everything that's in the air. Over the cattle. That's everything that lives on the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's still everything that's on the earth. So he did that. He created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Now this is a hard one. For human beings, this is a hard one. There's no difference in this word, blessed, as if you say, bless God. The picture is this, that God knelt. Are you listening to me? God knelt to mankind, or yielded because of love and adoration. Now listen to me. God did to us at that moment what we do to Him every day by orders. He loved us so much, trusted us so much, created us in His likeness and image, gave us extreme power and authority, and then yielded to that authority. Our first call. My Father said to me, take my place. I've done the work. I've made the provisions. I've given you everything that I know how to give you, even my own likeness and image in power and authority. Please, take the job over. It's your turn. Now, in case you've never felt that on this earth, it's weighty. My dad was way too anxious. When he wanted out of town, he wanted out of town. He wanted to go on vacation. His Sabbath day had come, and he said, I'm through. It's yours. He was gone before I knew it. And it's scary. And he didn't give me all the tools and the power and authority that God has given me. So I'm in a much better place now. Much better place. Can do a much better job because I've got the training according to what we just read. God's going to, as I approach Him, as I ask Him questions, He trains me and then gives me more than training. This thing called power and authority He gives to me. It's a calling. It's a responsibility. Then God blessed them. He knelt to them and said, I love you so much, I'll do anything for you. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. That's not all He said. And subdue it. In other words, just don't spend all your time fooling around. Get busy and subdue it. It's not good enough to have children. You have to provide for your children what I provided for you. It's our calling. Succeed. Have dominion. Same definition. Use it to walk on or succeed with for us and God. Over the fish of the air, the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, you remember this long thing that I told you before that I have a physical birth and I have a spiritual birth? I'm going to tell you something. When sin came into this earth, We gave up the pure, righteous, holy look of God. We accepted another father. What did that father look like? I don't know about horns, but I guarantee it looked like a snake. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. We got something important here. I hope you don't get mad at me, but I'm going to lay something heavy on you here. It's called responsibility, like God does. Until we are born again with the new genes, the new chromosomes, the new blood of God the Father, we have the blood of a snake. We have the genes of a snake. A serpent, if you'd rather use that word. Our flesh took the look of Satan. It took the desires and the wants. Our desire is to do bad. Our bent to evil. Use any religious term you want to. But I am born of the flesh. The flesh looks like the serpent. Until I am born of God, I cannot have the blood of God, the life of God, the look of God. Why am I saying this? Listen to me. Subdue it. Have dominion over everything that moves on the earth. Or let me say it to you another way. That moves in the likeness of the earth. Now listen, when I take on the look of God, the life of God, I no longer look like the earth. I don't move like the earth. I don't speak like the earth. Therefore, the power of God is not... You cannot use the power of God to have dominion over me. You can only use it for those things that look like earth. Now, remember Jesus walking along with His disciple? Peter? What did He say to Peter when Peter disagreed with the things that the Father said? Get behind me, Satan. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Our first calling is to take dominion. Righteously take dominion. I don't have a desire to hurt anybody. I don't want to walk on, rule on, stomp on anybody. I don't have a desire. But I do have a call. God has given me a job. When something looks like the earth, say, get behind me, Satan. Who do I start on? That's right. We're going to get this down. I start on me. That's exactly right. The first piece of earth we put under our feet is me. When I do wrong, I say, get behind me, Satan. When I speak wrong, I'm not putting up with that. I take dominion over that. I subdue it. And I teach it something that it doesn't want to understand, which is deliverance, which is, what was the word? Reconciliation. I teach my flesh reconciliation. I teach it that it's not supposed to act like its father Satan. It's supposed to act like its new father God. Okay? Now let's go on. And God said, see, I have given you... How many of you are yous? Okay. I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall all be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. Anything that has life in it. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Now let me tell you something. And it was so means whether you agree with it or not. Okay? When God says something, that's the way it is. Our blessings come from agreement, our understanding, and coming in line with that. Then God saw everything that He had made. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Where do I begin? All right, Stan, I hear what you're saying. Where do I begin? Here's where you begin. You got to know that on the seventh day, God rested. Know that God is at rest with what He has done. And believe and trust. Now, here's another little thing that the devil wants us all to understand. God is not at peace with you. He's not happy with you. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. You born again? Then He made you, right? And He still says, He's at rest with saying, that's good. You got to know that. You got to know that, or you'll never have the idea that God can be pleased with you. Look at this. Genesis 2. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. I'm His work. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified the seventh day, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Does that sound like that God is upset right now? Does it sound like that God is the least bit worried about what's going on in the earth? And we are commanded to enter into His rest. Well, how can I do that? First, I have to believe He's at rest. And that He's not at war with me. Or my children, or my children's children. And He's not at war with me because of something my dad did or my granddad did. And if I blow it today, He's not at war with me even then. He's already done the work of first the creation, and then through Jesus Christ, the recreation. And then He's given me the power and the authority and the ability to understand it, and then to operate in it. I hope this isn't too complicated. I don't think this is complicated at all. I think we've made it complicated. Jesus is sitting in His big old chair, and He's saying, come to me, all that are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And we don't do it. And He says, what is it, Noah's time again? Have I got to eliminate this bunch and make a better bunch? And Jesus says, No. Remember the responsibility you gave me? I mean, I went and died for him now. Listen, you gave him to me. Did you ever think about that? Jesus says, you gave him to me. I know you made him, but you gave him to me. I paid for them. They got my brand on them, 777. Me and the Holy Spirit, we'll take care of it. I'm going to go down and talk to them. I'm going to go talk to them a little bit. I'll get them to come to your rest. Trust me. Now, how many of you know that God's not stupid? God doesn't believe that everybody is going to go to heaven. He wants that, but He doesn't believe it. Y'all know that? Okay. Patrick, would you like to have every car that's out there? I bet you would, because they're all profits. You could sell them. But the fact is that you're not going to get everyone, right? Okay. Does that keep you awake at night, knowing that you're not going to own every car? Does that keep you awake at night? How about every tool that's on the market? How everything? You all got individual interest. Does it keep you awake at night that you know that you're not going to own every one of those things, whether it's jewelry or whether it's tools or whether it's jobs, contracts? You don't lay awake at night thinking about that. God doesn't either. He doesn't worry that some are going to hell. Why? They don't exist yet. They don't exist until He fathers them. It's hard to worry about things that don't exist. He worries about things, if God can worry, about you and I. We exist. He fathered us. See, He's not upset at the world. Look in the Old Testament. What got God upset? Was it the world or His people? Think about it. Just think about that. God is not upset at the sinner because in His mind, they're not His children. You know, how many times do you worry about some neighbor down the street you don't even know their children? You worry about yours. You fight for yours. You provide for yours. You'll give them everything that they will receive from you. Your first call is to serve Him in love. Well, the first command of that call is take dominion and rule. First over yourself and then every situation that comes. How many of you can picture this at all? That Satan attacking the devil and winning. Can you picture that? Satan attacking I'm sorry, Satan attacking God and winning. Can you picture that? I hope not, because it'll never happen. And he don't worry about it. He doesn't worry, he doesn't build fortifications, and he doesn't store up money and store up food thinking about the time that the devil might attack him and hold it from him. Now, are you made in his likeness and image? Are you supposed to quake when the devil threatens you? Are you supposed to have dominion? This Y2K nonsense. Who made Y2K? You think God made that or man made that? This world made that situation. I don't fear situations that this world made. God made the world, and he gave me dominion over all those situations. Did he not? Did he not? My first calling is to take dominion for me and for my family for the glory of God. And when I walk without fear, I give God the glory. And he says, that's my kid. He's doing what I called him to do. Now listen to me. We're never going to deliver anybody if we walk in fear. We're not going to be the ministers of reconciliation if I'm afraid about whether I'm pre, mid, or post-trib. I can't, if I've got any worry except pleasing God, I am distracted. I can't be the minister. I don't know how many of y'all ever got in a fight. But you never won a fight, a physical fist fight, by worrying if there was five others out there that might whip you. If you were centrally focused, if you had a focus on the one you're going to whip, you can whip them. If I'm focused, and I'm also sure that I can do it, that I can take anything on. The bigger they are, the harder they fall, because I'm a winner. The louder they yell, yelling never scared me. Come on. Are we going to answer the call? Amen. To take dominion and rule?
Amen.
That God is at rest and he's not at war with us. He's not worried about us. Unless we don't pay attention. You know, hey, listen. How many times have you had children that you told, now don't do this because it's dangerous, and they went and did it, and then you worried? That's when you get to worrying? That's the way God is. Because he sees disaster coming. The only time that we try to pull God out of his rest is when we disobey. Remember I said our job is to serve him right in front of him in love. You know, I bet you, I know this for me, so I'll just say it to you. I bet you whenever your kids did what you told them to do, you didn't worry, ever. When they did what you told them to do, you never worried about it. Not one time have you ever worried about it. Why? Because you loved them and you wouldn't steer them wrong. You wouldn't tell them to go do something dumb. Amen? All right. We will never move into our full and advanced or specialized calling until we fully believe Genesis 1:26. That's going to be my final statement to you. Next to the last statement. No, it's going to be the last one. We will never move. Listen to me again. We have no business going any further in studying our calling until we understand this right here. We shouldn't ask or seek for a more specialized calling until we get this one down. Do I have the right to have dominion? Let me tell you something. Let's just go one step further. When God does give you a specialized calling, it's to take. Now, that's a tough one. Christians don't like to understand that. But you see, Jesus came. All we ever say is he gave his life. But let's finish it. What did he give it for?
Take us back.
To take us back. To take away power and authority from Satan. To take for his Father. Now, are we created in Jesus' likeness and image?
Amen.
Then I'm going to tell you, when I cast out demons, it's to take God's property and give it back to him. When we talk about the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous, it's not for me. It's to take away from the wicked so that God the Father can give to the righteous.
Amen.
When we want somebody saved, it's to take them from hell and put them into heavenly places. I want you to get that down, because that's what we're called to take dominion. Not to lay in the hammock and have God dump dominion on us. Does this make sense, Nicole? I hope so. I sometimes wonder if I'm getting through. But we can't get past this. You cannot get past Genesis 1:26. It has to be woven into everything that you do, every day that you do. And the ego has to set in. If that's what the world's going to say, let them say it. The ego has to say, has to come in here. Do you know who I am, Harry? I'm a son of God. And no weapon formed against me will ever prosper.
Amen.
Well, that sounds egotistical. You let it sound any way. I tell you what I'll do. Since I'm a minister of reconciliation, I can introduce you to that power and authority, but you ain't taking it from me.
Amen.
We got to know who we are, who backs us up, what we have, what tools, what power and authority, and what it's about. It's not about me. It's for God. Genesis 1:26. I am created. I was created in the serpent's image. I am now created in God's likeness and image. You have to convince yourself, because your flesh is the first thing you have to take. And I promise you, you'll Gary, every time you look in the mirror, the devil tells you that you're worthless. You know that. And I can sit here and tell you that you're created in God's likeness and image till the world looks level. And if you don't believe it, it's not true. You've got to believe what the Bible says, or it will never be real. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that you're the first enemy you have to whip. You're the first place you have to take dominion. You know something? Once in a while, you have to call yourself a liar. When you catch yourself speaking against the Word of God, don't be hesitant to say, you lying dog. You shut your mouth. That's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
You will say what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
That's our first calling. Do we want to deliver and help people? Then let's help each other. Let's help each other. Encourage each other to believe. Can you imagine what God could do with a people that really believed His Word? I mean, really believed it and called everything up. No options. Absolutely no options. I got to get there, Harry. I got to get to the place where I won't believe anything except what the Bible says. Not even if I disagree. How many of you know that I disagree with the Word often? I do. I don't like it sometimes. And I want to disagree. But taking dominion is telling me the Word is true. Stan, you're a fool if you don't believe it. The Word is true. I don't care what your skin says. I don't care what your desires say. I don't care what your neighbor says. I've only got one option. Now, we can stay on this one option forever. I mean, if you want to start in Genesis, we'll go to Revelation, and you'll see there's really only one choice.
Right.
Covenant only gives you one choice. As relationally, I'm only given one choice with you. I'm not given a choice to like you or dislike you. If this is my brother, there's no choice. That's right. I have no choice. I didn't vote on it. Well, did you vote on your brothers and sisters? Physically? Well, you didn't spiritually either. Yeah, but I don't like him, God. God says, didn't ask you. Didn't ask you. I told you. You now have an assignment. It's called your brother. You know, yesterday morning I went to bed at 4 o'clock. Mark calls at 6:45. Now, Mark can't even figure out who his pastor is. I wish he was here. I'd just tell him to his face. He can't even figure out who his pastor is. What's he calling me for? I want to say that. What are you calling me for? I don't care flip about you. But you see, I have a further assignment. He's my brother. He's my brother. Can I always give him honor? No. I doubt if I always give him honor. But he's still my brother. It's part of the call. It's part of the assignment. What if I don't like what Mark does? Well, I can take dominion. How? Only one reason. There's only one goal that I can ever have taking dominion in your life, Harry, and that's if it's for the Father. Because if it's for the Father, it's for you. I don't have to worry about that. If it's for the Father, it's for you. Does Let me ask you something. Did Jesus take dominion when he went to the cross? The biggest step that's ever been taken. He took dominion. Did he ask me? 2,000 years ago, did he bother to ask me? No. I am now. But he did it. He did it without my permission. So the things of God, the things that God asks me to do, sometimes you may not feel like that you were given a vote. But don't worry. God's in control. God won't take away from you to add to me. He doesn't do that. That's not the way it works. Let's trust. Don't trust that God has given me more dominion and rule than you. Don't trust that, because that's not true. Let's trust that God's given it to all equally for one purpose, for the kingdom of God. Yeah. I heard that on television this morning. An old preacher once wrote this, that when there's a throne, in everybody's life there's a throne. Y'all believe that? You've heard it. If you've ever listened to any preacher at all, you've ever heard that. You've heard it. In everybody's life there's a throne. When Jesus is on the throne, your flesh is on the cross. Yourself is on the cross. Your wants, wishes, and desires. But if your flesh, or self, wants, wishes, or desires are in the throne, Jesus is still on the cross. You're crucifying him again. Forever, eternally, you're crucifying him. If we don't obey Genesis 1:26, Jesus goes back on the cross. And God goes back to the point in the earth where he had never even created it and called it good. You think, you know, we speak of God having a power and authority. You know what I just told you? I told you that we can take the God of eternity and put back on the cross. I'm telling you, we missed it when it says that he blessed us. The picture, Harry, it's drawn in a picture. We kneel. Praise and blessing are a lot the same. But it has to do with adoration, but it has to do with position too. It's us getting on our knees and praising God. Praising means... the picture is a dog lapping the master's hand, licking the master's hand because of love. That's what the picture is. God, after he created man, knelt and did that to mankind because of love. That, does that blow you all away like it does me? Some pictures I have a hard time swallowing. But the original language talked in pictures. It didn't talk in words. It talked in pictures. So if you can't get the picture, you miss the words. God not only did that out of love, it's kind of like the keys. We always talk about the keys of the kingdom. When God created the earth, he owned all the keys. And part of his blessing us was, here's the keys. The place is yours now. I expect you to do it the way I did it. Because you're created in my likeness and image. You get out there and rule and reign. And by the way, Jesus and Matthew came back and said it again. I'm not coming back for you until you rule and reign. Remember us reading that? Jesus said, I'm not coming back. You aren't worthy of me coming back until you're ruling and reigning right in the midst of the enemy. Don't let the enemy rule and reign over you. Our first call. Genesis 1:26. Look like God, act like God, rule and reign. Why? For God, in his place, in his stead. Y'all stand. Everybody here saved. I already know that. Don't have to ask. Everybody here safe?
Amen.
Are you safe? Hey, if you're ruling and reigning, if you have dominion, you're safe. I got three dogs in my yard. And I promise you, Connie can, I've seen her do it. She'll get after Romo. She'll get after the dogs. And they don't pay any attention to her. They're not afraid of her. But let me lift my voice. You'll see all of them scat, set, roll. They'll do anything I tell them to do. Why? Because I've proved to them I have dominion. When is the world going to fear God? When we prove to them we have dominion. Now, I'm saying this It says, call those things that aren't as if they are. By faith, we're going to believe this. And I want you to start. This is our calling. Faith is our calling. We're going to have to start boldly asking God to change us and then to do what He promised to do. Amen? And if that world is going to believe that there's a God, they're going to believe it because we're doing something they can't do. If all we can ever do is what they can do, they're not going to believe there's a God. Now, Father, here's what we ask of you. Boldly, according to your word, not according to ours. It is time. You've told us that, and we're beginning to believe it stronger now than ever before. It is time for your children to take dominion. It is time for the world to understand who's boss. You didn't create this world for Armageddon. You didn't create it for war. You didn't create it for sin. You created it for yours. We boldly proclaim, according to Genesis, that we are yours, created in your likeness and image, ready to do your work. According to what we read in Ephesians and Corinthians, we now believe that you are going to give us wisdom, authority, power, revelation to understand not only the calling, but when to act in that calling in the ministry of reconciliation, returning this earth to a new state. One that now has gone backward so many years, but now it's time to recognize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, use us now. Via the Holy Spirit, His correction, His direction, use us to reclaim the earth through the dominion, the power, and the rule that you've given us. We speak, earth, you're ours. You don't have a thing to say about it. And everything on this earth that has life in it, you belong to God, or you belong to the people of God. One of the two. You make your choice. You'll either serve the one that I serve, or you'll serve me, and I'll give you to God. Now, this may sound bold, but I want to be bold. In Jesus' name, you will either serve God, or I will walk on you, choose you this day. Life or death, blessings or curses. God, we speak what you speak. We say to the world, choose this day, life or death, blessings or curses. God, now that we've made this bold statement, we ask you again, as Solomon did, God, give us the understanding and the revelation, the wisdom to rule. Don't let us do it in our own power, in our own might, in our own understanding. We will destroy. We turn it over to you, Father. We give it to you, our wants and our wishes and our desires. God, use us to save, use us to heal, and if it's last resort, use us to have dominion. We love you, Lord. We kind of ignorantly say this by faith and then give it to you, not knowing where it's going to lead, but we trust you. Bring us into your rest in this, and for this, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. God, we cannot do it without you. You cannot do it without us. Let's get the thing together and rolling. It's our desire. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Please, if I just prayed something that you might disagree with, don't turn me off. We're not through yet. Just bear with me. I think it's time for us to pray out of ourselves once in a while. We've already prayed in ourselves enough, don't you think? We need to go past that point. Don't forget our getting together tonight at Ken and Renee's. Y'all be blessed. Oh, is this the week we still have to put things up, or we have to put it up one more time? All right.